Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. Sorry if I'm yelling at you. Glad to have you guys here. It's always wonderful to see everyone's faces and be able to talk and we have some visitors, and it's just really nice to see everybody. It's needed. It's something that God put in place for a reason. Just want to make sure everybody knows that 5:30 tonight is the trunk or treat, and I know there will be a lot of very excited children here. So if you can, please come. Bring children, grandchildren, husbands, whatever you got, and we'll have a good time. Lots of candy. So also, there are the cards. Just a quick reminder to fill those out, and at the right time, you'll be asked to pass those in the appropriate direction. So again, we're very thankful to be able to gather here together as a church family and worship the Lord. So let's pray. Father God, we pray to you today. We are just so very thankful to be here with you in your presence, Lord. So thankful for the building that you've provided, the means of finance that you've provided, the food that you've provided, the jobs, the families, the houses, everything, Father. You've provided everything for us, and we are just so very thankful. We pray at this time that our worship is uplifting to those that are here, and also, Father, that it is what you would seek from us. Lord, please open our hearts and our minds, soften our hearts, give us the ability to take in the words that are spoken, that we would take that with us and apply it to our lives so that we can show others your love and maybe possibly bring them to know you. Father God, we are thankful mostly for your Son, and it's his name we pray. Amen.
I'll go ahead and give everyone a second to get settled.
I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. Oh Lord, for your
Tell me where the grammatical error in that song is. I will give you an extra piece of candy at the trunk or treat tonight. I never saw it before, but I just realized it in the middle of it. Oh, we're getting a little bit of a hum, Carl. Thank you.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done, so loved He the
Okay, today's scripture is from 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 7 through 14. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars." And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, "Bring the ephod." David said, "Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord, God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." Again, David asked, "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, But God did not give David into his hands.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
There was a little boy who was excited. It was Saturday morning. He was going to get to play outside. He went to his sandbox. He had a basket full of cars. He had a traditional bucket with a little shovel and some other toys that he played with in the sandbox. And he got busy building mounds and making tunnels and running his cars through with all the zooming noises. And as he was in the middle of the sandbox, he discovered there was something hard there. It was a rock, and he began to dig around the rock. And he finally got enough dirt out of the way where he could kind of move the rock with his feet. So he would sit down, push the rock across the sandbox, and he wanted that rock out because it was interfering with his tunnel building and his automobiles, and it needed to go. So he pushes it to the side, gets it up next to the piece of wood that bordered his sandbox, and he would start to tip it up, and then it would fall down. And he would get it up a little bit, and then it would smash his little fingers. And he kept trying to get it out of the sandbox, and he couldn't. And so finally, in discouragement, he sat there with his hands covering his face, and the father was looking out the window at this whole episode. And as soon as he started to cry, the father's shadow appeared in the sandbox, and he said, "Why haven't you used all the strength available to get the rock out?" And the boy said, "I have. I've tried. I've pushed. I can't get it out of the sandbox." And the father said, "No, you haven't used all your strength available. You haven't asked me." He picks up the rock from the sandbox and puts it out on the ground. And the message is there for us. We're often like that little boy. We push and we struggle and we get discouraged and we use all our strength, but we haven't used all the strength available to us because we have a Father who loves us and cares about us and has strength that is unbelievable. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says that God can do exceedingly abundantly far above all we ask or imagine because of His power that is at work within us. We have unbelievable power at our disposal. When we face difficulties, sometimes we get captured by the discouragement and we forget to call on the one who has huge amounts of power available to us, and He loves us. He delights in us. We are the apple of His eye. He rescues us from things because He delights in us. He wants us to be successful. And this morning, we're going to look at this text, and we're going to see that God provides things for us, but we need to inquire of Him and His help to receive them. They're at our availability. They're there for us, but sometimes we live below our privilege because we simply try with our own strength to get the rock out of the sandbox, and we forget to call on God. This morning, I want us to look in, as we open our Bibles, to 1 Samuel 23, 1 through 18, to discover three provisions from God when times get tough. Now, we've been living through 2020 and 2021, and we face some difficulties in our world. Some of us personally have gone through some amazing, difficult situations. And God is a God who is there for us and provides for us. And let's discover these three things in this text. So, number one, God provides assurance. God gives us assurances. We have scriptures that give us promises. We have scriptures that tell us specific things like, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so you can say with confidence, God is my helper, Hebrews chapter 13. We know that God's love for us is secure, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We have assurances about our salvation, that I have my sins washed away because I am in Christ. I know that I have His Spirit. Assurances are important because sometimes we're not so sure about things. Sometimes there's lots of doubts. In fact, one thing Jesus did when He came back from the dead is He took His disciples who were hiding from where they were to where they needed to be, and He had to give them some assurances to get them from their fear to faith. He had to get Thomas from doubting to believing. He had to get Peter from regret to getting past that to having confidence. And sometimes God needs us to pay attention to the assurances that He gives us. In this case, we see David is in a situation where God is going to give him some assurances. David has gone through a lot. He's been on the run for about a decade. For about 10 years, he's been running from a mad king, King Saul, who wants to kill him. He's had a couple of principles the whole time. One is he honors the position of the king, he honors God, and he has a friendship with Jonathan that has strengthened him and given him confidence and assurances. Now, while he's been on the run, at first he just ran. He was a man on the run. He was running. But God all this time was shaping him and forming him to become a man of faith. And at this point, he is someone who, when he faces a problem, his automatic reflex is to go to God in prayer. When something doesn't make sense, he goes to God. When something is scary, he goes to God. And so there's a situation that he hears about, and he goes to God in prayer. And the situation is the pesky Philistines that are always bugging the Israelites, they've had success against them, but they keep on coming back, right? Have you ever had a problem that just keeps on coming back? You keep on having to deal with it. In verse 1 it says, they told David saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floor. So what would happen is they would get all their crops, they would be giving their fruit, they would be producing, they would gather all the crops in. I mean, just think about it. You go through all the process of getting your fruits and vegetables, your grain and all that stuff. You've had blood, sweat, and tears. You get all this stuff in, and you're ready for the reward. And as soon as you start to bring it in, what happens? The enemy comes and takes it away. Would you be mad? Yeah. Would you be frustrated? Yes. And this happens over and over again, and it's these Philistines. So David hears that they are being taken advantage of, and he goes and inquires of the Lord and says, shall I go to these Philistines? He's asking God, do you want me to go? And the Lord said to David, go attack the Philistines in Keilah. So he's ready to go, but his men aren't ready. You ever been ready to do something, but other people slow you down? Other people aren't ready? He believes that God wants him to go, but what do they say? They say, look, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? So they're basically scaredy cats. They don't want to go. They don't have confidence in going with David. He believes God wants him to go, but they're not ready. So when he faces a problem, what does he do? He inquires of the Lord, and he acquires once again. Now, how do you feel about going to God a second time? Would you be afraid that God would say, I told you once, I don't need to tell you again, go, right? It would be a little, he didn't even hesitate. He went to God because his men needed assurance. We see Gideon go through a process with God. Does God care if we come to Him a second time? If my kids ever come to me for help a second, third, fourth, sixth, 17th, 19th, 20th time? Do I get tired of helping them out? Maybe. But God doesn't get tired of helping us out, does He? He wants to help us. He goes to Him a second time, and the Lord answered and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands." So, first of all, He says, go attack the Philistines. But what does He tell them the second time? Go, I will deliver them into your hand. That's a little more assuring, isn't it? Not just tell them to go. He's saying, go, I'm going to give them into your hands. So, He and his men went. They fought against the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants. So God gives them assurance. God gives us all kinds of assurances of what we have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We've been adopted. He's lavished His love on us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He goes down the list so that we're assured of what we have in Christ. In 1 John, He says, I write these things so that you will know that you have eternal life. The whole purpose of His letter was to give them assurance of what they have in Jesus. As Christians, we should have assurance. And He gives us assurances over and over and over again. We may be afraid at times, but God is there to assure us. And when God says it, that settles it. When God tells us that we're going to be victorious, we're going to be victorious. When God says you're going to go to heaven if you do these things, we can rest assured that that's going to happen. We can have assurances, and God wants us to be assured because He needs us to be confident, because there's an enemy out there that continues to wreak havoc on God's people, and He needs us to pay attention to the assurances. We need to fill our minds up with the positive things that the Word of God says about God. He gives us assurance. I'm assured if Jesus came back right now, I'm going to heaven. I have that assurance, not because of me, not because of what I've done, but because of what Scripture tells me God is going to do if I believe in Him. We talked about that last week, right? Those assurances are important. Sometimes I might not even know how it's going to happen. I'm not the brightest bulb, right? But I know that if I ask God for wisdom, God's going to give it to me. I'm assured of that. I'm not the smartest person on the planet, but I know that if I ask God, give me wisdom in this situation, I believe with all my heart that God's going to give it to me, right? If God can use a donkey, He can use me, right? I'm assured of that. I have that assurance because of what God says and what God promises. I believe that if I ask for something according to His will, God's going to do that. I believe that if I ask for what I want and accept what I get, just like Jesus did in the garden, Father, let this cup pass from me, not my will be done but yours, I have assurance that that's going to happen. I believe that with all my heart. There's no doubt. Do I have other doubts I have to work with? Yes. Do I have other anxieties I have to overcome? Yes. But I'm going to hold on to those things I know for sure. Assurance. Don't be anxious about anything. Russell, I wrote that in my Bible. Little carrot, Russell. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, and I'm not adding to the word, I'm just adding for emphasis, okay? So don't stone me in the parking lot. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I have assurance of that. Do I get anxious about things? Yes. But I know when I take it to the Lord, He's going to take it, and so I can cast my cares on Him because He cares for me. God provides assurance. He gave it to David and his men. So we looked at the text. God delivered the Philistines, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And did God deliver that promise? God delivers every single promise He gives. If it says it in Scripture, you can count on it. 100%. Every prophecy is fulfilled. Every promise will be delivered. No doubt. That's good news, isn't it? Secondly, He provides protection. So He's in Keilah, and this is a town that is fortified, and David's inside. And when Saul hears that David's there, if this was a cartoon, the eyeballs of Saul would have little bird cages, and David would be inside the bird cage yelling for help, right? Because he sees that, hey, if he's in Keilah, he's stuck, he's in, and he's going to get trapped, and I'm going to come and besiege the city. And guess what? If they give him up, I've got my man. He wanted to kill David. But if they don't give him up, I'm going to besiege the city and I'm going to take the whole town. How bad did Saul want to get rid of David? Real bad. He wanted him D-E-A-D dead. Did I spell that right? He wanted him dead. Not mostly dead, all the way dead. He wanted him gone. And he saw a perfect opportunity. And so, look at what the text says. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. And so Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand. He thought God just gave him a blessing. He thought he was answering his prayers. He was dead wrong, wasn't he? God wasn't delivering David at all. For as he has shut himself by entering the town that has gates and bars, and Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men, then David knew that Saul had plotted against him, and he begins to pray, and he begins to ask God, is this going to happen? And the Lord said, he's going to come down. In verse 12, David says, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. And so David and his men escape. And they get away. So David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness. Saul sought him every day, but here's the verse, but God did not deliver him into his hands. So here's a situation that's dire. Saul pursues him to kill him and doesn't let up. It's like the roadrunner and the coyote. It just keeps on happening over and over and over again. But God did not deliver him into his hands. If God is in the picture, there's always hope. If God is in the picture, there's protection. So here's David. His life is threatened, but guess what? Saul's on a leash, right? Now, I run a lot. You know my stories. I've been attacked by dogs. You know, just a couple years ago, pit bull came out and knocked me down on the sidewalk. I mean, I've had my experiences with these dogs that get loose, right? So I enjoy it when I'm running and I hear a dog. I usually twitch a little bit because the sound gets my attention. But if I see that the dog is behind a fence, I'm not so scared, right? Because there's a fence between me and the dog. So I can stick my tongue out and run and not worry about it, right? Or when I was a kid, there was a dog down the street that was on a leash. And if you stayed a certain distance, it might run at you, but then it would hit the end of that leash and you were protected. I went to the zoo one time and Kevin said, do you want to run with the lions? And I said, no. And he made arrangements for, you're supposed to stand behind a bar I got to get inside of it. There's glass. There's a little grassy area. And there's the bar that you're supposed to stand behind. And I would run, and the lions were running alongside me. But there was that glass there. I was protected. Now, if Kevin came and said, I can assure you that if you'll get inside the cage with these lions and run around, that they won't bother you. Would I get inside there? No, right? I was safe. I was protected. And guess what? God protects us. Satan is limited. God is unlimited. He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. God can protect us. God's nature is to protect us. He gives us protection. Saul wanted to do something, but he couldn't do. He even thought God was allowing him to get David. He thought it was God's will for him to get David. He was all wrong, and David was protected. And Saul would try and try and try, and he would not succeed because God was protecting him. God protects you and I, especially when we ask Him to protect us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God will protect you, but you got to ask for it. You have not because you ask not, and when you ask with wrong motives. You got to make sure that you inquire of the Lord, but He will protect you. And when we get in sin, why do we get in sin? Is it God's fault or our fault? It's our fault. But when we get in and we can't get out, God wants to help us. His nature is to protect us. And God, throughout Scripture, the picture is God is a God that's there for us. He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. But He also comforts us. And He sends Jonathan to comfort David. He gives him comfort from a close friend. In verse 16 it says, "Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in the Lord and said to him, 'Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel. I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that.' And so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord that had to give David great comfort and strength and confidence. And David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house." And this will be the last time that David and Jonathan saw each other. But who better to give him comfort and strength than Saul's son? Who was supposed to be the next king? Jonathan. But Jonathan believed that God had anointed and picked David, and he supported that. He's already shown that earlier, and now he confirms that, and he comes to him while he's on the run, and he gives him comfort. God uses each of us to comfort each other. In fact, in 2 Corinthians it says, comfort each other with the same comfort we receive from God. He strengthened his hand. It wasn't just a physical thing. He just didn't show up in the cave with some brownies to make him feel better, right? I mean, that's good if he did. Would that be comforting too? Sure. But what was the comfort centered around? It was spiritual comfort. He strengthened his hand in the Lord. He was doing things with David to give him spiritual strength. It's good for us to comfort each other. It's good for us to give brownies to each other, I guess. But what's the most important thing we can give? Spiritual strength. Pray with each other. Support each other. Hold each other accountable. Encourage each other. Come alongside the other person and lift them up. Jonathan does that. God is giving him comfort through David, comfort through Jonathan. God's providing that. In all of Scripture, one verse we're all familiar with is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We get that picture of God. A God who provides for His sheep. He protects His sheep. He saves His sheep. He looks out for His sheep. Sheep aren't very smart. They get in lots of trouble. but the good shepherd takes care of them. That's the picture in the Old Testament. Here's a lamb with wobbly legs. He doesn't rush him like the young shepherds. He gently leads them along. In Isaiah, the other picture is these pregnant lambs that are slow. They don't get rushed. And it says of the little lambs, he picks them up in his arms and he carries them. That's the picture of our God. He provides for us. He provides assurance. He provides protection. He provides comfort. The three provisions we've talked about this morning, assurance, protection, and comfort. And how did David connect himself to God's assurance, God's protection, God's comfort? What did David do to connect himself to God's blessings? He inquired of the Lord. He asked God, I need assurance. I need protection. If you go look at this period, this decade he's on the run, and you go back to Psalms, there's about seven different Psalms that he writes while he's in the desert on the run going to these places. And God is using that whole experience in David's life to shape him and form him and get him to grow so that he is refined. One of the places that David is at Ziph. And if you live in Ziph, you're a Ziphite. I like that, Ziphites. Right? What does the word Ziph mean? The place of refinement. The place of refineries. Do you live in a place with a bunch of refineries around you? Yeah. We do, don't we? So, this was a place where refining happened. And we know from Scripture what happens when the refiners refined. They tried to get rid of all the impurities so they could see their face in the reflection, right? God is working in David's life to refine him, and he's providing all these things. And David connects himself with those blessings. He gets to a point where he learns, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your steps. And he keeps inquiring of God. How do we get the blessings, the assurances, the protection, the comfort? Jesus says it best, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a prayer of what? Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God's provision. Are we inquiring of God? Do we enjoy the blessings we have, or do we miss the blessings? I've used different illustrations sometimes to talk about living below our privilege or maybe experiencing something and not getting the whole benefit from it. His name was Leith Anderson. He was a boy who grew up in New York. And in the 50s, he loved the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he couldn't wait to see them. Finally, his dad got him some tickets to the World Series game against the Yankees. It was a big occasion. They went to the game, but it was a total, total disappointment because the Brooklyn Dodgers did not even get on base that game. They lost. And he was so disappointed. He always remembered that game and just cringed because his team, who he rooted for all the time, had a total meltdown and didn't do any good, and years went by. And he finally met a man that was a walking baseball almanac. He knew all the facts. And he said, you know, I went to a game back when the Brooklyn Dodgers played in the World Series, and I was so disappointed because they didn't even get on base. And the guy said, you were at that game? You saw that game? And he said, yeah, it was horrible. And he said, you witnessed that game when Don Larson pitched a no-hitter, perfect game, the only one that's ever been done in the history of the World Series? And it dawned on him that he was so preoccupied with his discouragement pushing the rock across the sandbox, that he missed the beauty of being there at one of the pinnacle moments in baseball history. He missed it. Sometimes I'm afraid we as God's people, we miss the benefits of God's assurance, God's provision, God's comfort, because we're so wrapped up in the discouragement of life that we totally miss our Father in just saying, help me. God, provide for me. It could be the worst situation that you've ever been through. It could be the worst loss that you've ever faced. It could be the most difficult sin that you've ever dealt with. But we have a God that can do the impossible, and He gives us assurance. He gives us provision. He gives us protection. He gives us comfort. And He's just waiting for us to say, God, help me. And He will move mountains for us. He will do far above all we can ask or imagine. It's a beautiful text that sends a message to my heart to be encouraged no matter what I face. God's going to get me through. Hallelujah, praise God. We have a God. To God be the glory. That's what our focus is. Maybe you're here today and you're facing sin and need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Maybe you drifted away from God. Come back today as we sing.
This morning before we take the Lord's Supper, I have two things I want to say. Number one is, notice we have a different cup today. The bread is on the opposite end from the fruit of the vine. And second, that between the bread offering and the fruit of the vine, we're going to sing one verse of the same song we sang a while ago, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Now, as we prepare our thoughts for the Lord's Supper, I want to read some verses from Romans. In Romans chapter 5, we find in verses 7 and 8, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, we see God's love. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Knowing what we do about Christ's sacrifice, at the time that his crucifixion was about to occur, he alerted his apostles that things are going to change. I'm going to die a very horrible death. But I want you to remember in the future two things. One about the flesh that I'm going to have broken, and one about the blood that is coming out of my body. And he did that by giving them an unleavened bread for the remembrance of the body, and the fruit of the vine for the blood. Now, as we prepare to take of the Lord's Supper, let us first remember about the body through prayer. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus. The fact that he came, he lived, and he died. He died a very painful death. And he did it willingly. He did it in a way that would give to those of us who never met him, never knew him personally, that we have the love that he had for those then and those now. We pray, Lord, that as we partake of this bread, that we will remember and that we will look at our lives and be examining ourselves to be sure that the promises that we find that God will not separate from us, that we can separate from him through our negligence. So help us use this time to be thankful and to be examining. These things we ask in your name. Amen. This time we're going to have a song led from the back.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Now, as we prepare to take the fruit of the vine, let us once again pray. Father, it's been so good to be here this morning, to rejuvenate our love for you and to rededicate our lives to doing what you'd ask us to do. We pray, Lord, that as we enter this week, that you will bless us with good decisions and bless us with a life that would be acceptable to you, all because Jesus gave his life for us at a time when it had to be done in a very painful way, where his body was broken, blood came out from the nails, blood came out from the spear, blood came out from the thorns on his head. We remember that, Lord, and we're so appreciative and thankful. These things we say in your name. Amen.
Please take a card from the pew in front of you, or the chairs in front of you, and fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium area, if you will pass it to the outside. If you are in one of the overflow rooms, if you will pass it to the inside, someone will come and pick them up at that time. Oh, I did say I wanted to get to say that faster and faster every week. That was really slow. Do you want me to do it again? No? Okay.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our
like to take this moment to thank everyone for their attendance here this morning, whether here in the building or worshiping with online. Also, to take this opportunity to reflect upon our many blessings that we have bestowed on us every single day. We have an opportunity at this time to give back for those blessings through our contributions. And for those that have not made a contribution but wish to do so this morning, there is a collection box in the foyer hanging on the wall. You can drop your collection into that box. And if you are not worshiping with us in the building, you may mail those collections in at your convenience. We are so truly blessed spiritually. We offer that prayer, the prayers that we're giving during the Lord's table, the spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ, but we also have a physical blessing of material wealth. And from that, we give those contributions to continue the good work into the church. Let's have a word of prayer before we close out this assembly. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are so truly blessed to be here this morning. As we reflect upon the bountiful gifts that are given to us every day, we know all good things come from you, Lord. We pray for those that are with us this morning, that they have been spiritually renewed through our worship service, and to thank all those that have made their contributions to continue the good work in the church. And for those that cannot be with us this morning, Father, we ask that you watch over these individuals and be with them through their life. And if they're ill, to heal them, Father. If they're recovering from surgery, to be with those individuals till they see them through their healing process. And most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, of whom we should follow and worship daily. All these things in your Son's name, Christ our Savior. Amen.